This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Chris, you were telling us about David Perkins' encounter with people who were running communes. I remember those from the 60s and 70s, but you don't hear about those much today, do you?
Well, you don't, but Libre is still going strong. I guess largely due to the fact that Izzy was able to help these people through some really nasty, he went through some really hard times with water issues, with zoning issues, with insurance issues, with political problems, with educational problems, you name it. You know, David was the padrone, basically. He was the daddy of the community. He helped negotiate through all these pitfalls and minefields. So basically, he went native, I think it would be the term in the military or the intelligence community. He went to study the community and to kind of document for his dissertation of how this community was organized, how it got set up, and then he was going to, in his original thinking, he was going to keep touching bases with them and see how they progressed. Well, he ended up moving there and building one of the first houses. That's how I met him, is the Libre 25th anniversary party in 93. I went there and had a huge party. Half the valley showed up there. It was an annual event that hundreds of people would show up. And I went there and had a great time and spent 3 days there. And I think it was 4 days. And then I went back over the hill to the San Luis Valley. He was in the Huerfano Valley. I was in the San Luis Valley. And we were only about 20 miles apart, but it took 3.5 hours to get there because you had to go all the way around the mountains. Anyway, I told my brother about this great party and time I had. He said, well, give him a call, and let me meet him over the phone. So we did, and he said, come on back over. And so we came over. I spent a week there. That's how I met him. Now flashing forward to 1975, and when all these cases are happening in Colorado, right at the entrance to Libre, there's one road in and one road out, and right at the gate, on the other side of the gate to the neighboring farmer, he had a mutilation right there at the door, next to the road, right at the gate. And so Izzy saw this, and he freaks out, and he goes, oh, my God, this is one of those cattle mutilations. And he's checking it out, and, he's kind of taking notes. He's poking around a little bit, and he called up the rancher. I don't think the rancher even spoke to him. And he ended up calling up the sheriff, and he went into town to talk to the sheriff about it. And David said, well, who do you think is doing this? And the sheriff said, well, you're our chief suspect. We think it's you. And he said, well, why would you think that? And he says, because there were blood drops that were going from the animal onto the Libre property headed up towards your place. And so his very first case, he was the chief suspect. I've always found that irony just so appropriate for some reason. So that's how he got involved. And from that point on, he was a man on a mission. He traveled around the West, the Rocky Mountains and the Midwest. He spent, I think, a week, as David mentioned, in Ellsbury, Missouri, and was also very interested in Momo, which was the Bigfoot character that was seen in the months prior to the outbreak of UFO sightings and the outbreak of the mutilations. There were UFO sightings all through that period, but he was really amazed at how mutilations had suddenly become embedded, forcibly into the culture. He said that people were in Ellsbury were camping out in lawn chairs, waiting for the UFOs to come, and were selling T-shirts. Watch your cows if you bring them to Ellsbury. And he said there was a whole little cottage industry that sprung up, and it was like the scene in Close Encounters, where they're all picnicking and they have their signs and they're ready to flash their lights and fire off bottle rockets or whatever. He said it was like a festive atmosphere around this horrific animal deaths. And he actually went out there with Bill McIntyre. I met later in the early 90s. It was the last manager for the Fire Sign Theater. So a lot of good jokes I think, came out of that particular field trip. But he had one case that was very, very peculiar. He was headed up to Montana, and he was driving up I-25, which is, the goes up the whole Front Range there, curves out of northern New Mexico and goes up, the east of the Rockies all the way up through Colorado, through Wyoming, up to Montana. He had stopped at a truck stop to, I think he had a station wagon. He was just sleeping in the back, and he stopped to get some, I think he was in Wyoming, if I remember, and to get some sleep. And he woke up, and right in the field next to him was a mutilated cow. It had happened, 100, 200 yards away. Never heard or saw a thing. And I think he was even in Perkins County, or there was a bunch of very weird coincidences and synchronicities that happened. And that happened a lot. That was something that he and I, we just reveled over, some of the synchronistic name play and weird timing of events, how things seem to be all connected on some weird, almost a superluminal level. Those were some of the things that really fascinated him, and me for that matter, and really kept us going. And he got initially involved because he was out in Colorado. And we can talk about his time in Yale, where he was, for his first 2 years, he was George W. Bush's roommate, dorm mate.
I wanted to ask you about that. Now, understand, we get really ragged on by listeners if we dare to discuss the P word for politics.
Right.
But this is the guy's roommate for 2 years.
Yeah,
and in this segment and the next, you can tell us the secrets that he never revealed. Can you tell us what really happened in the 2000 election?
Well, I can tell you what happened just after it. They had the 35th anniversary party for the Yale graduates, for all 360 of them, I think there were. And so Bush had them all over to the White House for dinner, with a date. So, it was a dinner for 700 something. And a very interesting occurrence happened while they were there. Bush was sitting at the bottom of the stairs going up to the residence, and I guess this was after dinner, and all the women were fawning on him and doing and awing, and, "Oh, Mr. President, you haven't changed since Yale, and all this type of stuff." And Izzy's kind of sitting there watching this whole thing. Now, he had been the guy that nobody knew what happened to him, All the other guys were like bankers and lawyers and doctors and stuff, and there's the Skull and Bones guys were doing their thing. But Izzy was, he was hidden away in the mountains of Colorado in a commune, so he was kind of like one of the guys you see, on the bulletin boards, anybody know what happened to David Perkins, And when he showed up, he hadn't seen W for, decades. And so I think, I don't even think W even recognized him in the the welcoming line, where they stand there and they talk to you for a second and move on, you shake your hand. But David saw a chance for him to dash in and kind of get some one-on-one time with him as he's sitting there at the bottom of the staircase with his two handlers, making sure these women don't monopolize his time and, playing custodians to his presidential self there. And so Izzy started talking to him, and Bush instantly, recognized him. "David, where have you been? What's been up?" So he gave him a quick summation of where he had been. And at one point, this was right on the buildup. I think this would have been March of 2002. We were getting ready to go into Iraq big time. And so at one point, David said, "Well, I bet you can't wait to go and kick some A-Rat butt, huh? There, George."
Okay, that's a good cliffhanger. That's a terrific cliffhanger. We have Greg and Gene and Tim and David, and I don't think I left anyone out. Chris, You're in
Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris O'Brien talking about David Perkins, who apparently was the roommate for W for 2 years at Yale, which proves, of course, that W did go to Yale. And we were in the middle of a story. This is around the build-up to the Iraq War. David Perkins is at the White House talking to the president. Chris, go on.
Well, again, David, you know, they got over the small talk, and then there was kind of a lull, and David said, well, I just wanted to kind of test him a little bit. So, you know, I kind of jokingly said, hey, I bet you can't wait to go into Iraq and kick some Arab butt, huh? And Bush, his eyes went open wide, stood straight up, ramrod stiff, and started saying over and over in a monotone, robotic voice, I must be humble. I must be humble. I must be humble. Everybody standing around just was, you know, he said everybody's mouth is open, and his handlers grabbed him and hustled him upstairs. And he was gone for the evening. That was it. No more W.
So, it sounds like he was a robot. You know, you think of one of the Star Trek episodes where they kind of screw around with the intelligence of a robot and the robot starts self-defeating itself.
Well, he was a human being, Gene, so the analogy is pretty weak. The other time that something strange like that happened was when the original group of guys that used to hang out, W and Izzy, and W would, you know, he at one point had tried to make a illegal still in the dorm room with a galvanized garbage can to make some alcohol. Put a bunch of food in there and some yeast, you know how it goes, prison jack or whatever they call it. And not realizing that you can't do it in a galvanized garbage can because all the galvanizing material will leach into the alcohol. And he almost killed a couple of guys, and a couple of guys I think went blind. Izzy was blind for 2 weeks. W had to do his homework. But David didn't remember exactly when this happened, but it was either he thinks it was spring, their junior year, I think, the spring break, when they all went home, and W went up to Kenny Bunkport. And by this point, he was a party guy. I mean, he was, you know, Mr. Man About Campus, he's a major party guy. And that being the case, you know, he kind of his hair was getting long, and he was 67, 66, so you know the drill from the time period. He was just kind of going along with the crowd and loved his Budweiser. And so he went home. And when he got back, he had a butch hair, you know, military haircut, and was quoting Bible verse. Now, this is a big, major turnaround for somebody in just a matter of a week or so. And that's when he kind of fell out with him. They didn't really have much in common after that, and that's about when their friendship, and I think they were no longer doormates at that point. And so that's that was kind of the end of their friendship in terms of being close friends. But interesting thing that happened later on during the run-up to the 2000 election. Somehow word got out that David Perkins had the goods on W, you know, about his time in college. And so Rolling Stone contacted him and said, hey, you know, we want to do this expose on what W was like, you know, when he was younger. And, you know, you're the guy to talk to. And he says, absolutely not. I'm not going to tussle with the Bushes. No way. And so they came back a second time, and they offered him money, a lot of money. And he said, no way. And it never entered his mind to say yes. Then as it got closer to the election, he started having a change of heart. He started to realize how close it was going to be. He thought that Gore would win easily, being a left-leaning Democrat, as he was, David, that is. And so, you know, he's starting to have a change of heart. Maybe I should do this. And I was talking to him saying, man, come on, dude, blow the Duke out of the water. All these stories you told me, oh my God. Even if it's really just who knows, it could be a close election, and that could really be a key thing. And he was really thinking about it. And I made a trip to New York in December 99. And I had dinner with this woman who, Carolyn Minkus, she's no longer with us, but she was interested in possibly providing some funding to set up a research center, and I was being introduced to her by two women that were highly placed at the community that I lived in, and one of them worked for someone at the UN, and they lived in New York, and so we had a meeting at the St. Regis Hotel. You know, $1,000 shots of cognac was like, whoa. And at one point, none of this ever, no talk about politics or any of this stuff came up. And at one point, the two women, they left the table to go to the powder room and talk about something, I forget. They were trying to help me, wrangle this woman. She was very, very wealthy. Wrangle her help. And so I think they were comparing notes on where the conversations were going and all that. And so me and this woman were alone at the table, and she looked at me and she said, you know, you have an election coming up. And there's people out there that think that they can swing this election for Gore. But they don't have a chance. The Bushes, they play hardball. They're going to win this. And if anybody thinks that they're not, the Bushes will take care of them and their friends, too. And I'm sitting here instantly go into this place of absolute paranoia. And the girls come back. We finish, you know, our get-together, and I never get the funding. I go back to Colorado, and of course the first thing I do is tell Izzy this, and he freaked. He said, Rolling Stone just offered me almost $250,000, and based on what you just said, there's no way I'm going to do it. He didn't do it. If he had done it, he could have changed history. So
whoa.
I've never told that story before publicly. That was the first time I ever saw him really have profound regret that he didn't do something. He regretted to the day he died that he did not do that interview.
We've got Chris, we've got David, we've got Greg, we've got Tim, we've got Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Israeli authorities say at least 22 people are dead and there are hundreds of casualties after today's surprise attack from the Hamas militant group. Israel has declared a state of alert for war in southern Israel, where rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip this morning. Hamas claims it has captured Israeli soldiers near the Gaza border. Over 250 casualties have been reported so far and 22 deaths. He's not heading back home to California yet.
Kevin McCarthy is refuting recent reports suggesting his intention to resign from Congress following his removal as House Speaker. McCarthy clarified to reporters that the reports are untrue.
That's John Schaefer reporting. The largest health care strike in U.S. history has come to an end without a contract deal. Kaiser Permanente employees will begin returning to work this morning at hospitals in California, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Whoa, so therefore, this could have been a history-changing event, what David didn't do, which ends our participation in politics. But one more question, Chris. Did David Perkins have a day job?
Yeah, he was an entrepreneur. He had all sorts of pokers and all sorts of fires. He was the senior editor of Western Spirit magazine, and he did. He's like a day trader type guy. He's just a wheeler and dealer. Nothing really. He'd do projects.
Is that close to being independently wealthy or just surviving?
He was just really good with cash. He knew how to take money and make money with it. And he kept rolling it over and investing in his research. He was able to amass a library of, he didn't even know how big, 20,000 books maybe. How many do you think he had over at the house there, David, just there in Santa Fe?
Oh, it's so hard to say, Chris. There was a lot, devoted to cattle mutilations, UFOs, but then it branched out into so many different subjects, as you know. And I was told that is only a fraction of the books that he had up in Colorado.
Yeah, he had three times that amount in Colorado. He had a library, a little library in Colorado.
Yeah, the one in Santa Fe was huge. I remember looking through his... there's a whole section on New Mexico history. And then down to even things like histories of specific tribes. There was one on the Hickory Apache tribe, which is the people around Dulce, New Mexico, which everybody knows. And there were names of families in there of people that I know in that tribe, which was kind of amazing for me to see going back you know, back into the 19th century. And well, I think that's as far as the records went back. But it was extensive. There was a whole section of science fiction. There was a whole section of Western history, things like that. But it covered a lot. There was a whole section of biology and science. There was a lot of books on ocean, oceanography and ocean biology. Just his mind went everywhere. It was amazing. And then he pulled all this information together into some of his theories about the mutilations and about the paranormal. He said that he thought the paranormal was the key to, or consciousness was the key to tying together all the paranormal fields, and held something like the answer to that, or something close to it. He never thought there was an answer. I think he was more interested in looking for it than finding it, which is the mark of a true scholar.
The journey is a lot more interesting than the end.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so much of what you find on the way there is enriches your life, enriches the life of others, ties things together, and if people are listening that are interested in the paranormal, if you read widely in other subjects, I think it really reflects back on some of the UFO stuff and the paranormal stuff and cryptozoology, etc. Read up on theories of the universe and physics, latest physics, and theories of time and dimensions and even things like human cognition and things like that. These things are all important. And David knew about these things, and he was vitally interested in them, and we talked about it quite a bit. Helped me out quite a lot.
All right, well, you referenced UFOs. And, Greg, you can take this, and then everybody else can chime in as well. But, I mean, pop culture and UFOs associated with cattle mutilations, I mean, that's, I mean, there's even T-shirts, you know, with UFOs using tractor beams to pull cattle up to them. But over the years, I mean, really, has there been that much correlation between UFO flap areas and cattle mutilations?
Chris could probably answer this better, but I don't think so. And Chris could also speak to this. The thing that fascinated me that both he and Chris found out, David, Izzy, and Chris found out, was that the mutilations, or most of them, tended to cluster downwind or downstream from nuclear facilities, waste places, test areas, all that. And, you know, you could be very quick to say, well, then that must be it. The government must be monitoring. But that was the only correlation, or the main one that they could find. And not really with, I think UFOs and cattle mutilation thing can very well be looked at as separate things. Although there is a large area of overlap. But I think it's a mistake to say aliens are taking, you know, cattle for whatever reason. And, you know, I think Izzy would have said that right off, and I think Chris does say that because we've talked about it, right, Chris?
Well, yeah, he would say you can't really factor them in, you can't factor them out. There are examples of what appears to be a linkage between a flap area and outbreaks of cases. The Malmstrom overflights, for instance, in 75 and 76, there were cattle mutilations, some right in restricted areas where they would allow cattle to graze behind the fences around the missile fields. And the Ellsbury cases, for instance, as David had brought up earlier, there were quite a number of UFO sightings in 73 around that area, and then later on, prior to the wave, and then during the early parts of the cattle death wave there were these orange lights that were seen in fields, and people would report them and then go out there later and find, you know, disfigured livestock. So you know, and just to give you another example, I mean, what the only real wave of mutilations that occurred in Arizona happened in October 75, right before the Travis Walton case in November. So, you know, if you look UFOs tend to show up early. In the case of Elbert County, Big Mama was an object that was seen by ranchers that would be putting out these smaller lights. They even tried to chase it with airplanes at one point. Law enforcement attempted to, and it showed up during periods where cattle were being reported as being mutilated. Now, of course, all these reported to be mutilated, I mean, that's an apocryphal term because as soon as the press got a hold of the story, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that saw a dead cow would go out and see what is conventional scavenging and report it as mutilation. So you have a morass of false positives kind of surrounding true cases. So, you know, unless you're a veterinary pathologist and you're going to every single one, there's no way you're going to determine which cases are real, which cases are just induced by non-experts looking at things and misinterpreting what they're seeing. So I think the helicopters would be the real direct link. It's hundreds of helicopters.
Yeah, I would say that more, too.
Yeah, great. Tom Adams wrote a book called The Choppers and Their Choppers. Which listed out all these hundreds of reports of helicopters seen in and around mutilation sites before, during, and after.
So and you had helicopters bedevil you, too, when you were in the San Luis Valley.
Yeah, I had a number of cases like that. In fact, I was in a helicopter flying around doing some videotaping. A benefactor had called me up and said, "Hey, what you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just kind of working around the house here." And he goes, "Great, I'm on my way down. I've got a helicopter." So he landed, and he got out. I got in the little two-man helicopter, and I think it was $600 an hour or something. I got to spend the afternoon traveling around the valley videotaping.
Hey, we'll get into more of this helicopter trip and more with Chris and David and Greg, Tim and Gene. I got it all correct. You're in
the Pedicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The David Perkins Roundtable with Chris, Greg, David, Gene, and Tim. We keep changing the order so everybody's ego is best served. Chris, you were talking about $600 an hour to rent a helicopter, but that's many years ago. It would cost, what, $1,200 now?
Probably. Well, just to give you a sense of how much time I spent, we actually landed at the Alamos Airport and got totally refueled and then went back on our merry way. This would have been in January of, or February of 1995. So we were over around the Greeny Mountain area, just south of Monta Vista in the San Luis Valley. And we decided, you know, hey, my batteries ran out of the camera, and it was getting late, and so we were headed back in a beeline straight the 60 miles back across the valley to Crestone, where I lived and where Randy Rhodes was waiting for us so they could fly back up to Denver. And so as we're starting out to go across the valley at a diagonal, I look over at the, you know, I've been looking out my window to the right the whole time, not paying attention to the pilot. I look over at the pilot, and he's got his head back, his arms behind his head. He's steering the helicopter with his knees. And I go, what are you doing? I thought these things were really difficult to fly, and, you know, you look like you're not even awake. He goes, no, it's easy. And he opens his knees and lets the control arm, you know, sort of dangle there, and he says, go ahead, try. And so I said, whoa. So I grabbed him. He said, just keep your feet off the pedals, off the rudders. But go ahead, you can steer, and you go forward, you go down, you go back, you go up. Don't do anything, you know, drastic. And so I start flying.
Statically stable.
Say again?
Aircraft are made to be statically stable, even helicopters. I think if you do nothing, they're supposed to just stay in the attitude that they're in.
Go ahead. Yeah, exactly. And so I started doing some swooping, and I thought, hey, I'm going to go buzz those cows over there. And so I swooped down, and I kind of buzzed this herd, and, you know, it's kind of sashay off, you know, back towards Crestone. I just did one pass. I didn't, you know, go around and harass them or anything. I just swooped down. And so we go and we get back there, and he lands, and Randy and him take off. And the next morning, somebody calls me up and says, did you hear about the black helicopter? It was yesterday afternoon. It was stalking a herd over there by Monta Vista. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking at it. Yeah, the rancher saw me swoop down at the cows. Immediately called the sheriff. The sheriff and two deputies chased after me and tried to keep up with me, but they have to do all these zigzagging on the county roads, and so they couldn't keep up with the helicopter, was flying too straight. And so they lost sight of me. And it made the Rocky Mountain News. Mysterious black helicopter harasses herd.
Chris, I hate to interrupt, Chris. You raise an interesting point there. How many of those so-called black helicopter sightings of crazy people like you having fun?
Well, again, it's not all black helicopters. In fact, black is, and all of drab would be the predominant colors. There's every color of the rainbow helicopters, from mustard yellow to solid red to red and blue, white and blue, red and blue, green, all the different shades of green. Some that are a couple rare ones are just with no paint at all. It looked just like they were unpainted. So, yeah, you never know. I mean, it's impossible to be 100%, you know, sure of anything in this field. Everything is got to be looked at with a grain of salt or a block of salt. And you got to have caveats and disclaimers all over the place to be, you know, intellectually honest. But that's one thing that is a common denominator in many, many waves. As soon as there's a wave happening, helicopters tend to show up and are reported. We had a guy who was the postmaster of his town. He had a third generation ranch, had been a helicopter mechanic in the Navy. He woke up one night and all the trees outside were thrashing around, and he knew that there was not supposed to be any wind or inclement weather, and so he ran outside and he looked up, and right above the cottonwood trees around his house was this, he said, a big, like a sea stallion sized helicopter. Not a helicopter he could recognize the type, but it was right above his trees, and the trees were whipping around. It was knocking branches off and everything. He said he could hear the sound of the wind from the rotor, the whooping sound, but there was no engine sound. And he said for a chopper that big to be silent, it really impressed him. Well, then it took off and went away. He went out the next morning and found four of his heads of livestock mutilated. And it was quite upset about it. And when I went out to talk to him and interview him, he was very open about the fact that he knew that there were cases going on that people were hiding and not reporting, and that he felt that as a responsible citizen with a knowledge of helicopters, having a helicopter like that over his house, he felt was highly unusual, and he was not happy that he had been targeted. So I don't know where you want me to go with it from there.
let's ask David. We'll go back to the UFOs and cattle mutilations. I mean, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, I would defer to Chris as the expert, obviously, on that. But living here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I've gotten to be friends with Greg Valdez, who's the son of Gabe Valdez, who I think Greg or Chris mentioned earlier. He was the New Mexico State Trooper who really worked closely with the mutilation investigators back in the 70s, and I believe even into the early 80s. Right, Chris? Am I accurate in that?
All the way into the 90s. I'm sorry.
I meant when he was active with the police force. I'm sorry.
No, he dovetailed his work. I mean, his last work really in the field was as an investigator for the National Institute for Discovery Sciences.
Right.
Right.
Would have put it up around 98, 99.
Right.
But actually, he was doing that in the early 2000s, too, when I was working on Project Beta. He was working on it then, too.
Well, I know going through some of his notes and talking to Greg, some of their findings were that some of these mutilations were actually done by people. Scalpels, surgical gloves found, atropine detected in some of the animals. And Greg, I think you've touched on this as well. I think in the movie documentary Mirage Men, where some of the helicopters were rigged with lights to simulate UFO sightings. And am I accurate in that, Greg, or did you do any direct investigation on that?
Well, the direct investigation was asking people that had been around at the time. I think Gabe might have found this out, and for whatever you want to take it for, I believe Richard Doty told me that was going on. yeah, exactly. The thing is, I mean, people bring up Doty. It's like, well, don't believe anything he says. Well, once in a while, he's going to say something that's true or close to the truth to shore up all the other stuff he says.
Mm-hmm. That's the best disinformation.
Yeah. And the other reason I say that is because I talked to a couple of people, including Bill Moore, who has never misled me ever, I know how people feel about him. But both he and Gabe, and I think one other person I talked to, said that Benowitz had said there were UFOs flying over the, what's it called, the West Mesa area of Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
Nightly at certain times, and he would see them, and he would see the lights. And he was writing it down and logging it. And Morissette told me he drove out there to see what the lights were. And he said there were helicopters with lights hanging from them, mm-hmm, for whatever reason. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they were crop dusting or what. But they were helicopters with lights hanging from them, and I think it's not beyond, even though I don't know if there's any way to find this out for certain, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that if you did want to conduct some sort of operation or see how people reacted or get people's attention drawn away or towards something and away from something else, you might take a helicopter and hang strange lights from it and flut from them and fly around.
Before we fly around anymore, we have other things that will be flying in our way. We have Greg, we have Tim, we have David and Chris, and I'm Gene, they tell me. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.